All right, you're listening to Green Left Radio, and we have our first interview for the program. We're going to be we have Sue Bolton on the line, who is a Moreland councillor and member of Socialist Alliance, and she is also, want to highlight, she is also a regular guest that we have on for the Green Left Radio program. And Sue Bolton just recently kind of wrote an opinion piece on titled Hypocrisy, God Powers and Djokovic. And you can actually read it up online on the Green Left website at greenleft.org.au. But basically responding, I guess, to the decision of Novak Djokovic being booted out of Australia on January 15th after Federal Immigration Minister Alex Hawke used a special power to overturn a Federal Circuit Court decision which had said the world... But I was going to pass it on to sort of Leo to maybe start off the discussion. So good morning, Sue.
Hi, how's it going?
Hey, Sue, welcome to the program. Leo here. Just to start off the interview, when you write about these God powers that the minister has under the Act, what does this refer to, and how has it been used in the Djokovic case, and why is it so problematic?
Yes, well, I think the God powers are have been called that by many refugee activists and immigration lawyers. Most people in Australia wouldn't be aware of these powers at all. And they were originally introduced to allow for more humanitarian kind of decisions when someone might be a genuine refugee but not really fit the narrow definition of refugee, because the UN definition for refugee is really quite narrow and doesn't necessarily cover a whole lot of different forms of persecution, such as incredible levels of family violence and so forth. So that was why those powers were introduced. But they give the minister incredible powers, and they've been strengthened over the years. Usually they're used in a way. Usually the minister refuses to use them for what they were meant to be used for, like granting refugee status to refugees, such as the Tamil family from Bilawila, who've been waiting for ministerial intervention for years. The minister could simply grant them refugee status, but he's refused to do that. And then on other occasions, the minister has used these powers to overturn immigration decisions, such as granting visas to two au pairs who'd been hired by the CEO of the AFL, Gillon McLachlan, who'd overstayed their visas. Or in another case, one of the immigration ministers from the Liberal Party was found to have granted visas for cash. One of the immigration ministers, Amanda Vanstone, gave a visa to one of the well-known mafia figures in Melbourne, who was later found to be running a massive drug empire. And Peter Dutton, when he was immigration minister, also used his powers to grant visas to, similarly obnoxious people to the mafia, but refused to use the powers in favour of refugees. And since 2014, when they made a change to the Act, the minister basically can use these powers to strip someone of a visa on character grounds. And it's on this basis that there are a whole lot of refugees who've been found to be refugees, who were either never allowed out into the community on the basis of character grounds, or else they might have carried out some minor traffic demeanours and be stripped of their visa and put straight back into detention awaiting deportation.
Just while you're, sorry to interrupt, Sue, just while you're talking about those character grounds, that raises a very sort of interesting point about this case specifically, because there's been a lot of talk about Djokovic being deported for either, you know, lying or making an administrative mistake on his documents, or, of course, not being vaccinated. But in reality, these two reasons, justifications, weren't actually cited by the government in court. The reason for his deportation was, as sort of lawyers for Alex Hawke mentioned, was that he could incite sort of anti-vaccination sentiment. Now, I don't agree with Djokovic's views on vaccination. I think, you know, he could use his platform better as, you know, the world number one tennis player. But at the same time, he's not a very, you know, vocal anti-vaxxer. And what sort of precedent do you think this gives about someone being denied a visa for essentially having unpopular, you know, potentially political views?
Well, I think this is incredibly dangerous. And I think the fact that the government changed the reason why it stripped Djokovic of his visa, you know, initially they said, you know, it was because he didn't have a valid exemption. And then after the court overturned his case, you know, Djokovic was found to have sort of lied on his, you know, couple of questions on his form. But the government decided to change the whole story and go for this totally new angle, which the federal court accepted as being a rational angle of Djokovic fueling anti-vaccination sentiment. And it, like, I think, you know, while he is, you know, I go, you know, I don't like Djokovic for his views, for his right-wing nationalist views and his anti-vax views, but the minister only quoted an article of Novak explaining his views from 2020, very early in the pandemic, wasn't required to provide any more recent evidence of Novak doing interviews talking about his anti-vax views. And he was he's been excluded on the basis that he's well known and therefore could, you know, could lead other people to, could fuel civil unrest. Now, that could be used easily against, I don't know, someone who's well-known who comes to Australia, who's well-known, you know, Palestine solidarity activist or Palestinian talking about the situation for Palestine, or someone opposed to, you know, Australia's military ties with the US. You know, it could be that this is a very dangerous and very political decision by the federal court and by the immigration minister. And the left should absolutely not cheer this. I mean, while, yes, I can understand why a lot of people in Australia support the decision to throw Djokovic out because, you know, they've seen rich elite over the whole course of the pandemic be able to swan in and out of Australia, you know, while everyone else's, you know, the borders have been shut to Australians trying to return home, people trying to visit family. But the thing is, this is not a democratic decision at all. And I also think Djokovic wasn't coming here to build an anti-vax movement. He was coming here to play tennis, and he happens to have, you know, anti-vax views and right-wing views on Serbian politics in the Balkans.
Yeah. I just wanted to jump in with a question there, Sue, because you're sort of getting into, I think, the next kind of aspect of this whole kind of discussion. Because you mentioned before that, it does seem to me that opinion polls or, you know, general sort of sentiment in society supports this decision to deport Djokovic on the basis of his political views. But I think there's, I guess, a kind of another kind of angle here, and that is the fact is there is a federal election coming up, and Morrison I guess, what can you comment about how Morrison has sort of used border politics in and the case, this case of Djokovic, to actually benefit himself politically? Like, you know, what is sort of your comments and kind of some of perspectives there?
Well, I think the obvious point there is Djokovic is a distraction from, and this is used by politicians, capitalist politicians all the time. Djokovic is a distraction from the fact that the shelves are bare, they're trying to send COVID positive workers back to work, no one can find testing for the virus, no one can find these rapid tests for the virus. The government is in absolute crisis over its, you know, handling of the pandemic over summer because they forgot that tens of thousands of people getting sick means a lot of people not going to work. Therefore, it's going to mean, you know, shelves are going to be bare or there won't be people to drive the trucks or whatever, not adequate people. And so they're looking for a distraction, any old distraction. And we know from the past, and I believe this is why the Liberal Party initially changed and really started attacking refugees. They've always done this. They've attacked refugees in the past and now, and they're doing this to Djokovic simply to distract attention from their own total stuff-ups. And it's also incredibly hypocritical because they've got very vocal anti-vaxxers in their own ranks as Liberal national politicians who are actually probably much more vocal than Novak Djokovic. And they're still members of the Liberal and National Party. They've never moved to expel George Christensen from the party or the range of other anti-vaxxers in their ranks of Liberal politicians. And they probably actually do much more damage in terms of creating anti-vax sentiment. Because my understanding, which I might be wrong, but my understanding is that if the only article that they could find when Novak Djokovic talked about his anti-vax views was sometime in mid-2020, then, you know, really, I mean, the guy's got right-wing views on this question, but he's not actively campaigning as far as I know.
Yeah,
so it's a kind of distraction.
I think you're right on that, Sue. I think Novak Djokovic, I think his anti-vax views stem from his sort of very strange sort of understanding of medicine and sort of natural therapies. But like you say, he hasn't been very vocal on this sort of issue. I think, you know, as sort of much as I disagree with his anti-vax views, for the most part, he has sort of kept it private and appealed to this sort of sense of privacy. And as you mentioned, there's been this, you know, grotesque hypocrisy about, a tennis player who's going to be here for 2-3 weeks max, apparently stoking anti-vax sentiments when there's, you know, MPs serving committee roles in parliament who do so much more to fuel this misinformation, not being reprimanded at all. So it does sort of pose this hypocrisy about, you know, if it's an Australian, if it's a Liberal sort of party member doing this, it's okay. But, you know, when a foreigner comes in, suddenly it's a danger and it's a health sort of risk. So I guess just the final question for this interview to wrap up is, what does this sort of reveal about Fortress Australia and Australians' tendency, including the Australian public? Because like you say, the public very much support this. The public's sort of tendency just to use borders as the solution to any threat and to any sort of uncomfortable questions posed?
Well, I think what it shows is this is a tried and true tactic of the Liberal Party, of the LNP, to dream up some terror threat or some sort of some sort of means of demonising refugees or some other border issue so that they can try and say to Australians, you're under threat. And this goes back to when all the Vietnamese refugees were coming to Australia, goes back to the White Australia policy. is trying to create a sense of amongst Australians that you're being invaded by people from the outside. And so that's what, you know, that's what the government's drawn on in Djokovic's case. That's what Howard drew on when he stopped the Tampa from landing in Australia to allow the refugees to disembark. And it's a tried and true thing. And it's just so outrageous. And unless people have contact with this system, a lot of people don't realise how bad things are. And, you know, this is why we've sort of got all of these people sitting in detention centres at the moment. So these people aren't refugees, but these people have failed the so-called character test. Some of them have lived in Australia since they were babies, have no ties with the country of their birth, and they're facing deportation because they have served more than 12 months in prison. Some might have even done this when they were teenagers, and then years later they've been picked up on this character test. And, you know, one man in the Broadmeadows Detention Centre has 11 kids and grandkids. He's been here since he was 2. He doesn't have any ties with Tonga anymore, and doesn't speak the language, and he's being deported. And, you know, in the past there have been people with severe mental illness to the point of psychosis who've simply been deported and dumped in a country homeless, where they don't speak the language. They've just been wandering around in the snow in front of the Australian embassy in Turkey. That was one example I remember, a man with severe psychosis. So these are people who've done their time in prison. They're products of Australian society because they've grown up here. They, you know, this is like a double penalty. And in some cases, some of these people might be carers for other family members and so forth. So this is, you know, there are all sorts of really terrible things that happen through the immigration system of families being who are torn apart. But a lot of people, unless they've experienced these situations, don't realise how bad these border control policies are and the injustices that happen through the Immigration Act.
Well, thank you very much, Sue. I think that's a very good kind of note to kind of end on. And yeah, I think this has definitely been a very kind of good discussion, because discussing, you know, the question of Fortress Australia and border politics, especially how the Australian government has consistently tried to use this for their own political gain. And of course, the harm that has, you know, done towards, you know, people from kind of marginalised kind of communities. And of course, even then, one of the other strange things is this COVID-19 pandemic has even opened up the kind of injustice to even more sections of people, because, you know, there are many Australians who have not been able to come home during the pandemic, and it's only because in the context of the reopening of society, etc., that things have only slightly gotten better at the score. But, you know, for the past 2 years, many Australians were prevented from seeing their families at the border. So I think, you know, there's all sorts of complexities that are kind of happening with, you know, Australia's kind of border regime. And I think, you know, we have to be speaking out consistently against all these injustices that continue to occur.
Yeah, thanks again for joining us, Sue.
Thanks. Bye.